Hello, I'm Steve Crampton, Assistant General Counsel for the American Family Association. The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Our vision is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here, honored to be sitting in for Rob Shreve, and this is the American Family Radio Network, and we've got a very important show today. Yesterday, if you were tuned in, I was talking with Sean Dunn of groundwire.net about reaching young people for Christ, and he gave some amazing statistics, really some unsettling statistics about depression and just fear and anxiety that we know Jesus Christ can alleviate. When our life is in the hands of Christ, not only do we have salvation, but we have what the Bible calls the peace that passes understanding. And that's available to all people. And we say that Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And he is. But you know, there's another reality of the modern world, a very sad reality, and that is the resurgence. Just amazingly, after decades of cries for human rights and tolerance and ending racism, as we should, but amazingly, in recent times, and it's impossible not to have noticed this, the resurgence of anti-Semitism, which really, even the term anti-Semitism, is really a softened term for Jew hatred. And that seems to be, as we've pointed out, that seems to be the racism that gets a pass in our modern world, which is animosity toward the precious Jewish people, the chosen people of God through whom the Lord sent Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Well, we're going to talk about this, and I want to quote Genesis 12. When God called Abraham, God told Abraham that he would and we call this the Abrahamic covenant, basically that he would give him soil, seed, and the Savior. Everywhere your foot treads, I'll give you this land. Abraham, look at the stars of the heaven. Your descendants will outnumber these. And through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And of course, it was through the line of Abraham and the lineage of King David that Jesus was born, the Messiah of the world. And God also told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse those who curse thee. And I've said it many times on many programs, and I've said it to some pretty hostile audiences, in fact, though. But the greatest favor any president could ever do the American people is to be a good friend to the nation of Israel. Because the promised blessing of those who bless the Jews, I think we've seen that. And so we're going to talk about this and more, and I want to bring a colleague and friend on. You know, every year, it's usually about in February, but we go to a big event called National Religious Broadcasters, and we were there this year in Dallas. It will be in Nashville next year. But NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, is a convention of all the ministries, the journalists, broadcasters. And one of the people that we see there every year is our longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Rob Pacienza. He's the pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. Very special to me because it was in the 1980s that my mother and dad, facing bankruptcy, very stressful time in their lives, but my mom and dad were in their 60s, and they recommitted their life to Christ watching D. James Kennedy on television. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge, and he was an incredible worldview scholar. He was a pastor. He was the leader of Evangelism Explosion. But Dr. Kennedy was also really, really an apologetics voice. And it was always my dream to book him for one of our Truth for a New Generation conferences. And I met him a time or two, very gracious individual. I've got a letter where he wrote to me and he said, "Alex, I would love to speak at one of your conferences, but my health just doesn't permit the travel." And anyway, he went to be with the Lord several years ago. But in that pulpit, leading the church, broadcasting, he's just an amazing voice for God's word in our culture, is Dr. Robert Pacienza. And he's with us today, and we're going to talk about the subject of anti-Semitism. Pastor Rob, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for making time to be with us.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you. Hey, before we get into several subjects, and by the way, folks, later on in the program, we will open up the phones and give you an opportunity to call in. Tell us a little bit, I want you to give your website, but about your various ministries and how God brought you to where you are in your journey, Rob.
That's a great question, Alex. As you talked about the story of your family and your spiritual heritage being linked and connected to the late D. James Kennedy, that's similar to my story as well. It was back in 1994, coming through as a teenager, a very messy divorce between my two parents. We relocated to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we stumbled into Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And as a 14-year-old, I heard the gospel for the first time. I committed my life to Christ. I was actually the first one in my family to commit my life to Christ. So Dr. Kennedy became my spiritual father and eventually became my spiritual mentor. He discipled me, gave me a love and passion for the gospel, for evangelism, for the Great Commission, and of course, the cultural mandate as well. They were the two tracks that he emphasized, the Great Commission and the cultural mandate. And he mentored me and discipled me through high school and college. Never thought in a million years I'd be standing in the pulpit that he stewarded it so well for so many decades, but it's quite an honor to now be the senior pastor of the church he founded over 60 years ago, and mm-hmm. also the president and CEO of the media outreach that he started, Coral Ridge Ministries, which God has used to take the message of both the Great Commission and the cultural mandate to the ends of the earth.
Indeed. And give us some websites where people can watch the content. And by the way, I want to say this, no flattery, no embellishment. You are absolutely carrying on in the great tradition of expounding God's word and teaching people God's truth. I listen to you, and you are worthy of the pulpit that has been entrusted to you, Brother Rob. With all due respect to Dr. Kennedy, who was just a mighty man of the word, I'm thrilled that you are standing in that pulpit because you're carrying on in the spirit and tradition of D. James Kennedy.
Well, honored to hear those words from you, because you are certainly leading the way as well throughout this nation and beyond, defending the faith and standing for biblical truth. So thank you for your kind words. As far as website, people can simply go to crm.tv. Mm-hmm. You can find out about our ministry, our history, our programming. We have a nationally syndicated television program that's on every weekend. We have a radio program, but we also produce documentaries. We have short form and long form content. We're in the process of developing animated videos for children to help them understand God's design for the world. So all of that content and more can be found at crm.tv.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let's talk about worldview a little bit, because I think at no other previous time in our lifetimes has there been such a clash of worldviews all around us, and regarding the subject of Israel and the treatment of the Jewish people. I mean, if I hear where somebody stands on issues in the Middle East, I'm probably going to know where they stand on about half a dozen other key issues. For one thing, worldview. Rob, how do you define the term worldview?
simply put, it's the lens by which we view all of life. Schaefer called it a world and life view. The question is not whether you have a worldview or not, it's what is informing it. So when we talk about a biblical worldview, it's a view of the world, our lens by which we see all of life, that we see it through the lens of the infallible Word of God. So everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a lens by which they discern life, by which they see meaning and purpose, calling, how they view politics and how they absorb information and content, how they think about the story of origin and ultimate destiny of man. So everybody has a worldview. The question is, what's informing it? And we pray that the church now more than ever would understand the importance, particularly for the next generation, to raise up young men and women that are sent out into the world with a worldview that is informed by the Word of God.
Pastor Rob, is it fair to say that a person could be a born-again Christian, they've got a relationship with Christ, but not necessarily have a biblically informed worldview in other areas of life?
Yeah, not only is it possible, unfortunately, it's reality. When we look at our friend George Barna's amazing research and statistics, depending where you go in the nation, it's below 10%. I've seen it as low as 3% when it comes to born-again believers. For instance, the area I live and minister in, South Florida, Barna did research about 10 years ago, and it was about 3-4% of the evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians in South Florida, only 3-4% operated with a biblical worldview. That is staggering, staggering and sobering at the same time. And so it's like I said, not only possible, it's the reality of the North American church.
How do you think we got to this point?
I think we bought the lie of anti-intellectualism. I think we bought the lie that we have to somehow abandon the mind when it comes to having faith in Jesus Christ, that somehow faith and the mind and faith and intellect and faith and education are somehow enemies. But Alex, you being a student of church history, we know that some of the greatest minds in the history of civilization were believers in God and believers in Jesus Christ. And so I think it was inside the church, this embrace of anti-intellectualism, that somehow wisdom and God don't go together. But we know from the Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The Apostle Paul said, how are we transformed? We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to understand that Christianity is a thinking religion. It's a religion that it combines the mind, body, and soul. And so we need young men and women that are going out into the world, pursuing the arts, pursuing the sciences, but understanding with a biblical worldview with God at the center. So we need to reject the anti-intellectualism that has really crept into the church and understand. And no, we need to have a good defense of the faith, and we need to have a robust worldview that allows us to understand science and art and media and politics and work and calling and purpose and destiny. We really need to recover the mind as we pursue our Christian faith.
Folks, the voice you're hearing is Dr. Robert Pacienza. He's the pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and Coral Ridge Ministries out of Florida. Alex McFarland here sitting in on Real Truth for Today. When we come back, we're going to talk about anti-Semitism. And really, 80 years after the horrors of the Holocaust, just unthinkably, hatred of the Jewish people has arisen in our times, and I would say all people should speak against this, stand against this, but Christians especially. And I call on our fellow pastors and clergy to teach about support for Israel and standing against anti-Semitism. You know, compelling lines of evidence do point to the reality of the biblical worldview. And if you're listening to this program, and first of all, if you're not a Christian, our message to you is put your faith in Jesus Christ. He proved his deity, his messiahship by fulfilling the prophecy, virgin born, sinless life, rose from the dead. And we often say this, but it's true. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Well, we've got to take a break. When we come back, the American Family Radio Network, Real Truth for Today with Alex McFarland and our very special guest, Dr. Robert Pacienza. We'll be back with more and your calls as well. Stay tuned.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life or the death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, the mother will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. I'm very honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve this morning. If you recognize my southern accented voice, it's probably from a show called Exploring the Word, which is heard live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network, 4 to 5 Eastern Time, 3 to 4 Central, and in the time zone of your choice. We're in the book of Romans. We're in Romans 12, and so I invite you to tune in. Plus, we take Bible questions. And I calculated since the year 2010, I believe it is, we've done like 3,500 plus live shows of teaching God's Word verse by verse. We invite you to tune in. Also, I want to give a little heads up. This Sunday, June 15, we'll be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina with Dr. Gary Chapman. He wrote The 5 Love Languages, just one of the biggest, really one of the biggest selling Christian books of our lifetime, The 5 Love Languages. And it's just a fantastic book. And he and I will be doing a live program on Father's Day night on relationships and family, the value of marriage and family. And that's part of our speaker series called Conversations That Matter. We've got Charlie Kirk coming up later in the summer and Lauren Green of Fox News. So the website for that is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And if you happen to be in the Mid-Atlantic region, Myrtle Beach, maybe you're coming down here on vacation or something, we've rented just a state-of-the-art theater. We'd love to see you June 15 with myself and Dr. Gary Chapman. Anyway, I value your prayers. We've got our youth camps coming up. I'll be in Iowa next week. We've got 7 summer youth camps, 1,200 teenagers in 7 camps. We were in Montana last week, had kids putting their faith in Christ, building their life on a biblical worldview, and we value your prayers. Well, also, we've got a very special guest right now, Dr. Rob Pacienza, pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, Coral Ridge Ministries. And I want to change gears and talk about a very important subject, and that's standing up for the Jewish people. You know, I hope the world was horrified May 21 when two Israeli embassy staffers outside of the Capitol, Jewish Museum in Washington, pro-Palestinian militants shot and killed them, a couple that was engaged to be married. It was just really like an assassination. And just the outrage that you might expect from the media just really, to a large degree, wasn't there. And then June 1st, an Egyptian national used firebombs and an improvised flamethrower to attack a peaceful pro-Israel gathering in Boulder, Colorado. 12 people were wounded, and there was at least one fatality. And he was shouting, "Kill the Zionist." Well, to help us understand and to formulate a much-needed response, Rob Pacienza. Rob, thanks for being with us on the program this morning. Let me ask you this. What has prompted you in your heart and your convictions to use your platform to speak in favor of Israel and against violence and anti-Semitism?
Well, a number of factors, and I'm so glad that you're talking about this and using your platform to expose light in the midst of darkness. And I think the opportunity we have as Christians and evangelicals in particular is we need to understand that this is God's promised land and God's promised people. As you mentioned earlier in the show, in going all the way back to Genesis 12, we're told that Abraham and his family would bless the nations of the earth. So to be Christian is to be a friend of Israel, not just in the current state of Israel, but Jewish people all around the world. We need to understand the influence of the Judeo-Christian worldview, that where it has spread, where it is spread by both Christians and Jewish brothers and sisters, those societies have flourished, where the Judeo-Christian worldview has been spread and been embraced, where the Judeo-Christian worldview has been suppressed, those societies are in chaos and in confusion. So whether it's defending the Jewish people in the state of Israel, whether it's defending Jewish people throughout Europe, or whether it's defending Jewish people here at home, we need to understand our connection as Christians, as the people of God, going all the way back to Abraham. I think we also need to understand as Christian Americans that it's not only fundamentally Christian to be a friend of Israel, but it's fundamentally what it means to be an American. That George Washington, the father of our nation, said, "May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land," speaking of America, "enjoy the goodwill of other inhabitants." So I don't know if people understand that the kind of the pro-Israel American position is not something that started in the 1940s. It goes all the way back to our founding. Mm-hmm. You can read in George Washington's writings and his journals that he longed for the state of Israel to be restored in the Middle East, but also longed for Jewish inhabitants to seek safety and shelter and refuge here in this new land. So I don't know if a lot of people understand that. So bottom line, it's what it means to be fundamentally Christian and what it means to be fundamentally American, to be a friend of Israel. And therefore, it is important for Christian Americans to be standing with our friends, whether it's here or abroad, and to be really exposing what is happening when it comes to the genocide over in the Middle East to our Jewish brothers and sisters, but also to the rising anti-Semitism that's happening right here in America, whether it's the anti-Semitism that is being promoted on the mainstream media or social media, and certainly the anti-Semitism that we're seeing in our institutions of higher education. We need to denounce it. I tell my other Christian pastors and friends that to be silent is to be complicit. We remember you mentioned the Holocaust, yes. that It was our silence as a church, whether it was the German National Lutheran Church in the 1930s and 40s, or even, you know, Christians all around the world, that their silence meant they were complicit with the atrocity and the Holocaust that happened nearly 100 years ago. So this is a time for us to stand up, be bold, speak truth, and defend the Jewish people all around the world.
Indeed. And Dr. Pacienza, let's talk about apologetics for a second, because I actually think just the spiritual static around the issue of Israel and the Jewish people is really a pretty powerful evidence for the reality of the supernatural. I mean, my point is this, we're talking about an ethnicity, the Jewish people, that is, you know, maybe a little over 1% of the world population. And there is this inordinately large amount of animosity. I've spoken at a couple, over the last 30 years, I've spoken at easily 200 American college campuses, 50% of which are secular campuses. And on secular campuses, and even on a couple of historically Christian campuses that I've been on, there's just this indifference at best and hostility at worst, this hostility toward Jews and Jewish people, and just the hatred, the calls for genocide, the inexplicable support, you know, otherwise rational people that would be, you know, all about social justice, but yet they will stand with terrorists rather than show solidarity to the Jewish people. I mean, this tells me that there's a supernatural, there's a spiritual quotient here. Would you agree?
No doubt. I mean, it's not opinion. It is fact that there's been no people that have been more persecuted throughout world history than the Jewish people. And you're absolutely right. This tiny little sliver of land the size of New Jersey in the Middle East. I mean, who would have thought? But I think that's the power. That's the power of the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And it's this tiny little sliver of land that would be the foundation of all civilization. It would be the foundation for the moral law that would spread throughout the world. It would be the foundation of the land and the people that would go out and bless the nations of the earth. And of course, it'd be this little sliver of land that would produce the Messiah. That would be the savior of the world. But I think of that line, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Israel? And it does. It's brought more hope and more healing, and it brought the good news of the kingdom for the entire world. And that's where you're absolutely right. This is not just a battle against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. And there's really, as Solomon says, nothing new under the sun. This has been a nation that has been persecuted by the Egyptians, by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. The Romans. It's not just modern history, but all throughout civilization, there has been a spiritual battle on the land of Israel and the Jewish people. And then when you just think of beyond the spiritual, and you also think the geopolitical situation, here's the one place in the Middle East that is standing for democracy and standing for human rights. Once again, that's going to draw the enemy's attention. You know, in a region of the world that is suppressing women's rights, in a region of the world that is not advancing democracy and not advancing religious liberty. And all the more reason why we in the West need to be standing with our Jewish brothers and sisters, of course, first and foremost, for the biblical and the theological reasons that were mentioned, but also for the geopolitical reasons as well. It is our lone friend in the Middle East standing for rights, for standing for religious freedom, and for standing for the flourishing of all people.
And by the way, in the spirit of the term come and see. Bert Harper and I will be going to Jerusalem next March with Tim Wildman of Wildman Tours. Of course, Tim Wildman is the president of the American Family Association. But if you've never been to Israel, and even if you have, I do believe it is safe. I helped lead a tour 10 years ago. We saw 72 sites in 11 days. But my wife and I will be going, Bert and Jan Harper, Exploring the Word fans. We would love to have you join us next March of 2026 when we tour Israel together. And it truly will change your life. And if you're interested in joining us in Israel next March, just Google Tim Wildman, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, and Wildman Tours. But Pastor Rob, we're going to take questions in the third segment. But right now, how can Christians, churches, and certainly pastors in their pulpits, what advice do you have for us to encourage empathy and solidarity for the Jews, to speak out against hatred of the Jewish people? Give some advice and some suggestions on how we can stand for Israel.
I think three ways in particular. First way being just a simple way, and one that might be a little more tedious, but the simple ways is just carving out time in your services. We've had moments of prayer. We've had just moments of just making public declarations of where we stand. I mean, that takes minutes in a service. You know, just to hear their pastor or ministry leader stand up and offer a prayer for, you know, whether it was the attack a few weeks ago in Colorado or the continuing war that we see over in the Middle East, just to remind people that the war is not over, that the battle against anti-Semitism continues to rage on, and that we need to stand in solidarity with our Jewish brothers and sisters. So a short statement, a short word of prayer. I think also pastors and ministry leaders like yourself, Alex, that have platforms, radio programs, television programs, even a simple social media account, just regularly updating. Here's our statement. Here's a word of encouragement. Here's a kind of a biblical worldview of what we're seeing over in the Middle East and the anti-Semitism here in America. And then I think the third way is just if you can do so, you just mentioned going over to Israel. I agree with you, Alex. You know, continuing to take tours. You know, we're in the midst of talking about taking our next tour to Israel, hopefully sometime next year. Mm-hmm. I might go with a company of pastors in the fall. I think just the ministry of presence, even if it's just a few people going over and just ministering to some of the agencies that are over there that are doing humanitarian work, it just takes a handful of people to get over there, or, you know, taking your church on a tour. I mean, Israel lives and dies on tourism. And right. Yeah, I know my friends that are tour guides over there are desperate for groups to return, particularly from America. And so I think getting serious about returning there, even if it's just a small group going over there for what I call the ministry of presence, or, you know, bringing a church tour group or a ministry tour group, I think would be warmly welcomed right now.
You know, last week I was on American Family Radio and I interviewed Michael Rydelnik, who is a professor. Well, now he's at Cornerstone University, but he had been at Moody Bible Institute for 30 years. And he was saying how there are probably more born-again Jewish believers in Messiah than at any previous point since the first two centuries. And very exciting how not only how we can pray for Israel, Psalm 122:6, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, but how many are finding faith in Jesus? Well, stay tuned. We're going to come back with Dr. Rob Pacienza and take your questions. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Folks, a rare opportunity. If you want to ask a question, we're going to open up the phones. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you've got a question for myself and Rob Pacienza, I want to say kudos to Pastor Rob. He's got a book coming out in just a few weeks, How Firm a Foundation, Eight Truths for an Unshakable Faith. And am I right on that, Pastor Rob? That's coming out in July?
It is. Yep.
Well, congratulations. I think I could probably surmise, but tell us what the book is about.
Yeah, it's all about developing a biblical worldview and eight foundational truths. How do we have a biblical worldview concerning origin, a biblical worldview concerning human life, a biblical worldview concerning gender and government and work? And so each chapter gives us a foundational truths, as I say, for an unshakable life and an unshakable faith. And hopefully we get this not only into the hands of many Christians, but I wrote it in particular for many of the young people that are going off to college. We actually gifted it to every member of our Christian Day School that just graduated from high school. It's short enough to read, but I wanted them to have this in their library that they would understand that there is a firm foundation as they go into a world that is constantly in flux and constantly in chaos.
You and I have something else in common. We have a lot of things in common. I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book for teenagers for Tyndale Publishers called Stand, S-T-A-N-D, Core Truths for an Unshakable Faith. And
oh, wow.
I give God the glory. And it's basically kind of a foundational Christianity, biblical worldview. It's written at a seventh grade reading level, and I give God the glory. It's been put in Spanish, English, Chinese. But when I saw your title, Eight Truths for an Unshakable Faith, I was like, praise God. I love that nomenclature. That's kind of like my book title from a couple of years ago. But How Firm a Foundation, release date is July 8th, 2025. Where may people buy the book, Rob?
You can go to crm.tv or you can go on Amazon.
Yeah, sure. Well, that is really great. By the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Rob or myself, the number is 888-589-8840. You know, we're living in a time of, you know, cries for social justice. You know, isn't it interesting? So many of the people that you know, cry social justice are moral relativists. And really, just the term justice itself implies that there's an objective, absolute standard of right versus wrong. And something is unjust if it deviates from, you know, absolute, moral, righteous truth. And I'm going to relate this to the Jewish people in just a moment. But Rob, isn't it a bit of a puzzlement that the loudest voices screaming for social justice, they don't believe in moral absolutes?
Absolutely. It's totally inconsistent and illogical. The word justice means righteousness. It's always been tied to righteousness. This is something that the people of God need to reclaim, this idea of justice, and that we're not pursuing social justice as if the society has the ability to arbitrarily define what is right and what is wrong. We need to reclaim it and recover inside the church this idea of biblical justice, that it's God's word that defines the standard of righteousness. It's God's word that informs that which is just and that which is not just. And so you're absolutely right. Without objective truth, you can't have justice because you can't have righteousness.
Mm-hmm. I was in Canada to preach shortly before the October 7, 2023 attacks on Israel. And in Canada, I was struck by, even within this particular church I attended, the rights of Indigenous people, and, you know, there are those in Canada that, you know, they want to talk about giving Canada back to the descendants of the Indigenous people. Well, the October 7, 2023 attacks happened, and a day or two later in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, we had a peaceful stand for Israel. And I know quite a number of folks from the synagogue there in Greensboro. Anyway, there were, I don't know, 1,000 people standing in solidarity for Israel, and frankly, in mourning for the people that were killed. Well, there were a lot of students that came waving pro-Palestinian flags. And Pastor Rob, I was talking to some of the college students from my alma mater, UNC Greensboro. Anyway, I asked several of the students, do you believe in the rights of indigenous people? And they were like, oh, yes, yes, you know, America is evil. We need to give America back to the Native Americans. Yay for the rights of indigenous people. And I said, well, my goodness, then I'm sure you will want to stand for Israel. And they looked shocked. And I said, look, I mean, if you're going to be all about the rights of indigenous people, there is no more indigenous people than the Israelites in the land of Israel. I mean, because, you know, essentially 4,000 years before the birth of Islam, the Jewish people were in the land of Israel. Could you speak to this about how, I mean, if we're going to talk about land belonging to indigenous people groups and the descendants of the original occupants, my goodness, Exhibit A would be the Israelites in Israel. Do you agree?
Of course, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. This is not a political debate. This is a worldview debate. It's a clash of worldviews. So the progressive left, their position is not really for indigenous people, because you're right. I mean, if you're going to be for indigenous people here, you need to be for indigenous people everywhere. It's a matter of worldviews. It's a matter of where it's the Judeo-Christian worldview that they're opposed to. I mean, it's the anti-Semitism we see in Harvard, for instance, that's so inconsistent. It's they're against anything that stands for the Judeo-Christian worldview. They call it traditional values. They call it, they say it's oppressive to women and minorities. They'll throw every name at the book, because really they're opposed fundamentally the worldview that, Alex, you and I are spending our lives and our careers promoting. Mm-hmm. They believe it's evil. They believe it's oppressive. They believe it's backwards. So this is not just a political debate. It's not just a debate on the rights of people. This is a clash of worldviews, and that's where the church really needs to be equipped to answer these questions and to have a good defense for the positions that they hold, and understand that this is a battle not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle. It's a clash of worldviews, and that's why you see so much inconsistency, whether it's the rights of indigenous people or talking about social justice. It's completely inconsistent. But the reason it's inconsistent is because they're hiding behind their politics to really get after the Judeo-Christian worldview that has shaped the West for 2,000 years.
It's about God, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so that we need to remove God from the public square. That's their ultimate goal. That's their ultimate aim. And they use legislation and political talking points and protest to kind of hide behind really their hatred of God and their hatred of biblical truth, and trying to rid the world, in particular, trying to rid the West from our institutions of higher education to our educational system here in America, to mainstream media, to the public square. They need to rid the public of any semblance of God and God's people. That's, you know, we saw it the last 5 years with the rise of cancel culture, claiming that they're tolerant. They're tolerant for everyone except for those like you and me that hold a biblical worldview and stand for biblical truth.
You know, Pastor Rob, I think about Luke 19:14, when Jesus was ministering and the people began to turn against Jesus, and there was a cry, "We will not have this man to rule over us." In a way, isn't that still the attitude of a fallen, sinful heart. They do not want to let God into the conversation.
Of course. I mean, this goes back to when our first parents declared their independence, the Declaration of Independence in Genesis chapter 3, where they said, we will not listen to God, we will not obey God, but we want to be like God. Mm-hmm. That's the great temptation. They bought the lie of the serpent, and we've been paying the fatal price ever since.
You know, Mark Twain, I was an English major, and midway through my undergrad program, I got saved at 21 years old. But I love literature and have appreciated Mark Twain, although sadly, he was not a Christian. But you know, Pastor Rob, one of the things that Mark Twain said, that if there's anything that persuaded him to believe in the supernatural and be open to the idea of God, it was the Jewish people. And this was decades before the rebirth of Israel, May 14, 1948 even. But just, even Mark Twain reflected on the inexplicable animus against the Jewish people. And he said, you know, it made me at least ponder the reality of the supernatural. I wish he had become a believer, but as we said earlier, that it really does portend the reality of the supernatural, and I think Satan, because the book of Revelation tells us that the serpent made war on the woman that delivered the man-child. I believe this is in Revelation 12. Okay, the woman is Israel. The man-child, Jesus, like Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And I think Galatians 4:4 harkens back to Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, the virgin-born son of God, that's Jesus. But Satan hates the Jews because through the nation of Israel came the one that would defeat Satan, Jesus, Messiah, Alpha, Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I mean, that's world history in a nutshell, isn't it, Rob?
Absolutely. And you mentioned it, Genesis 3:15. That's the first glimpse of the gospel that we get in the scriptures. After the fall of man, God delivers this incredible promise to Adam and Eve that through the seed of the woman, that seed would crush the head of the serpent. But he did say that there would be enmity between this seed and Satan, the serpent. So we should not be surprised that the seed that came from Eve that produced the lineage and line that would eventually produce the Messiah and the Savior of the world, we should not be surprised that there has been constantly, all throughout redemptive history, this war between, as I call it, the people of the city of God and the people of the city of man. There mm-hmm. has always been a battle, there has always been this conflict, and there always will be until the consummation of the kingdom and until Jesus returns in glory.
You know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to say thank you for making time to be with us this morning on Real Truth for Today. And the voice you've been hearing is Robert J. Pacienza. He's the senior pastor and the leader of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, Coral Ridge Ministries, author of the book coming out in July on, Firm Foundations?
How Firm a Foundation? Yeah, eight Truths for an Unshakable Faith.
A book I highly recommend. So one last question. You know, I love American history, and I love the Judeo-Christian foundation of our country, but the Great Awakenings. What's interesting is, and this is a call to action for all of us, pastors, leaders, parishioners, Christians, before the Christian evangelical publishing and broadcasting world, as much as I love and appreciate it, and am an enthusiastic participant. Look, our nation for really two centuries held a biblical worldview, passed on biblical worldview to the children, because I think the pulpits were teaching God's word. And hey, look, use the resources, folks. Avail yourself to the great curriculum and all the stuff coming out. But it's not complicated. We need in our classrooms, in our pulpits, to teach the Word of God, and the Spirit will nurture that biblical worldview. Agreed?
Amen. Yeah, before there was a Declaration of Independence in 1776, there was a great awakening in this nation. It was bold biblical preaching, people of God standing for biblical truth in the public square that paved the way for a new birth of freedom. But that new birth of freedom would not be a reality. The Declaration of Independence would not be possible without without that firm foundation being grounded in America. But it was the Great Awakening. It was revival. And if we want to see greatness in America again, a lot of people talking about make America great again, we need to understand what made America great in the first place.
Amen.
And it was the biblical worldview shaping this nation that gave birth to unprecedented freedom.
We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.